Blog Talk Radio.
Sing it down low for him. Sing it down low for him.
Thank you guys for joining us this evening on Woman to Woman. We hope that your Wednesday has been wonderful. We hope that you have come to the show with a lot of energy, a lot of excitement. Father's Day is coming up, and we are excited. And so we, of course, said, why don't we have a show honoring fathers? However, you know, one of the things that we want to do is break open this whole topic of fathers, being a father, what their role looks like, and how do we honor them? You know, in what ways do we honor them? But really, and what does their role look like? There's so many of us that have grown up without fathers in the house, or maybe even a lack of a good father figure or role model in the house. And so how do you recognize when there is a good father around, a good father, a good mentor? How do you recognize those traits? Amen.
Amen. I'm excited about tonight's show. I really am excited. At first, I was a little concerned about the show topic because I was like, okay, what, you know, how much can you really talk about and give an honor and acknowledgement to fathers? You know, after you acknowledge our fathers, and I'm blessed to have two fathers. I have a dad one and a dad two who I love very much, and they love me very much, and it's just been a blessing. You know, we spoke last month on the mothers, and I was sharing how I was just lucky to have extended families that really stepped in and rolled up their sleeves, and it was no doubt, there was no question, they did what parents are supposed to do, and there was never any distinction between what was natural, what was biological, and what was logical. Amen. So I'm excited about tonight's show, and I'm excited about some of the questions we asked. So if you're listening in tonight via the web, our website, that's great. We're glad to have you. But if you want to ask questions and you want to participate in tonight's discussion, we're going to ask that you call into the studio. Call into the studio because that's the only way that we could, that you could participate. We you know, we're not live. We do a FB Live the first Wednesday of every month. So tonight is not a live night on FB, but we are live in the studio. So you have to be in the studio to participate. Now, I'm just going to say that number real quick, Minister LaDon, for those who may not know the number. It is area code 646-721-9678. Again, that's 646-721-9678. We would love for you to get into the audience. If you know someone, if you want to give a shout out to your dad, or you want to answer some of these questions we're going to be asking tonight, we're looking for audience participation. If you know someone who may be dealing with some of the stuff we're going to deal with tonight, have them call in. I'm thinking this is going to be a very exciting show. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, and again, last week on our Facebook Live, we opened up the conversation. We opened up the topics that we're going to be talking over. We're going to be conversing about over the next couple of weeks. You know, tonight we're going to be talking about good fathers, fathering in a wonderful way. And next week we're going to be speaking about faulty father figures and how we end up placing, you know, women who are, especially single women or women who don't have their children's father around, how you end up having the wrong person in that role as a mentor or as a father to your children. Now, I want to break open tonight's show because on last week's Facebook Live, there was a comment made that I had agreed with. And there was a gentleman who said that we should, you know, as single women, we should not look for, when we get into relationships and different things like that, we shouldn't be looking for fathers for our children. Like, we shouldn't expect people to step in or men to step in as fathers to our children. And at the time, I agreed with that statement. But as we prepared for our upcoming shows and we started doing our research, I had to reconcile and come and step back away from my agreement with that statement, because one of the things that was impressed upon me is that when we do get into relationships with men as single parents, and when we're single moms, when we get into relationships, or if you may be a grandmother or aunt and you're looking for that role model for your child, then we should have that expectation of them coming in as fathers. And when we don't have that expectation of the men stepping in as fathers, that's when the boundaries and the foundations become loose. That's when we settle for less, and the children are actually getting less than what they settled for. So I'm saying that because, one, we're doing this show because we want to honor those fathers who have stepped into those roles. Again, Coach D mentioned earlier in the show that she has two dads. One is biological and one is not biological, but there is not a difference between the love, the sacrifice, and the commitment between the biological and the not biological. You can't tell any one of these dads or these fathers that this is not their daughter. They don't say, this is my stepdaughter, or this is my wife's daughter. That's my daughter. And so that, for me, is a great way to open up this show, especially recognizing the fathers who are there, who are taking the role, who are taking the responsibility of these children and saying, this is my child. When I step into this role, I'm not holding on to this perception of I have to be a stepdad or I have to halfway do things. I am taking on the responsibility of this child as my own. Amen. Coach D, you sounded like you were going to say something.
No. That's so correct. That is so correct. And I'm hoping that gentleman, I was making him aware that his statement was going to be be one of our discussions. And I invited him to feel free to tune in and continue the discussion. So I'm hoping that he do get an opportunity to tune in. So first and foremost, Minister LaDon, I think we said we were going to start the show, and now that we kind of explained everybody is giving honor to our fathers or those who have been father figures to us. And we want to, listening audience, if you're listening in and you want to do, we have a question. I think there's three questions that we're going to be presenting on tonight. And our first question was, what are the characteristics of a good father? What do you feel the characteristics of a good father are? Listening audience, if you want to answer, please dial one on your dial pad. This is an open discussion. I could tell you what Coach D thinks a good father is. Minister LaDon could tell you what she thinks a good father is. But we want to hear from you all. That's going to be our first question tonight. And then we have two more questions to back up with that. So, Minister LaDon, I don't know if you want to take the floor and just give us what's your thoughts of what's the characteristics of a good father?
You know, as we're talking about the characteristics of a good father, and again, I'm speaking from the perspective of not only just a man who is the biological father who has already been in their children's life or has consistently been in their children's life, but I'm also speaking of any man who has stepped into the role of being a father to a child, especially coming into a relationship with maybe a single mom, and they're now married and they now have this extended family. The first and foremost thing that I think represents a good father is love. You know, and when we take that word back to the Bible and we come back with, you know, God's definition of love, it's so totally different than what man thinks love is and man's perception of love. Amen. And so that's the first thing. You know, you want to read 1 Corinthians 13. And you want to really get an understanding of what God meant when he said when he commanded us, you know, to love thy neighbor as thyself. So as a father, the first thing you're coming into this relationship or this bond with is love first and foremost. And I think that's a good characteristic of love. But I don't think it stops there. You know, the Bible also tells us to train up a child. And so I think, you know, the role of a father is to teach a child from there. You know, we always say that the mothers need to be the first teachers, but the mothers are actually the first nurturers. And dads should, you know, dads are usually the first teachers. And when dads are not there, you know, mothers are the first teachers. So I think someone who's there to teach that child, not just men children, but women children too, because that's how women get into these racial relationships with men that are abusive. They don't know how to recognize the characteristics and the habits of a good man or a good father. And that's how we get into these areas where we have these fathers who are not good fathers over our children. So love, training up a child, you know, exemplifying good behavior. I mean, showing, you know, you're showing that child, that young person, what it means to stick around, to be there, to go through challenges, to fight through challenges, to come out victorious on the other side. And even when they don't come, you don't come out victorious on other side. On the other side, you're still showing the child how to win, because whether the situation came out good or not so good, you're showing the child how to deal with the situation that comes out not so good. And so, you know, we're as a good father would teach that to a child. We're teaching the children how to, you know, you're teaching the children how to provide for themselves and for their family. And so if the child grows up and a man is not necessarily there, they've seen you as a father take leadership of the home. They're recognizing leadership characteristics, the strengths of leadership, the weaknesses of leadership. They're getting this game plan for life and how to encounter and maneuver in their journey, throughout their journey of life. They're learning discipline. They're learning wisdom, or they should be. They should be learning compassion from their fathers. They should, you know, fathers should be teaching the children how to be doers of the word and doers of their word. That's one of the things that I learned from my godfather, my mentor, is how not to have empty words. When you speak a word, the word spoken should start to change things up around you. It should cause mountains to move. And we think of that in miraculous ways, but one of the examples that he gave me that I hold dear to this day is that, you know, he has this resort that he owns, and he wanted to put a golf course through. It's a mountain resort. He wanted to put a golf course through the resort. He was not in town. I don't think he was even in the United States when he called the manager at the resort and said, I want a golf course. And so the mountain began to move and shape and take form because workers were called in, different things were done. You know, they came in and bulldozed areas and built up areas. And so I'm saying that because this was someone who taught me the importance of your words, and that they're supposed to mean things and they're supposed to change things. But the way in which he taught it, the discipline in which he taught it, the authority in which he taught it, it was so much different coming from a woman. And that authority that he spoke in was deposited into me, so that when I get into different situations, I take authority in situations. I start speaking differently. There's a confidence. There's this expectation of, no, this is supposed to change. and he's a praying man. And so, you know, children should be praying, fathers should be praying over their children and their families. And so, you know, that, and again, he exemplified such a strong faith that it just exuded onto all of his extended family, his extended children, me being one of them. And so that's another thing that fathers are doing. They're teaching this faith. They're teaching these children. They're a visual example of belief in action, belief in motion.
That's true. I'm going to ask something really quickly. Apostle, if you're on the line, dial one on your dial pad. I want to know if you're on the line tonight.
Yeah, and okay. You know, while you're doing that.
Okay, so he is on the line. Apostle Ron is on the line, and we started off the show stating that on last week's call there was a comment that was made, and you were addressing it. So I thought it would be great to bring in the gentleman who made the comment, and just, you know, be able to get, you know, he missed out what you were saying because you were speaking directly to them. But Apostle Ron, good evening to you, man of God.
Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening. So, it's a joy to have you here.
So we're, you know, last week we were doing Facebook Live, and we had got on the subject about failing to identify faulty fathers, and you had made a comment. Do you remember what comment that you made last Wednesday?
I made several, so which one are you talking about?
Okay, so Minister LaDon, I don't remember it, but Minister LaDon, I think you could probably speak it better than me. And the reason why I'm bringing this up, because I think this is the perfect show to have that discussion, and we're going to agree to disagree if that be the case. But I think, I want to hear, I heard Minister LaDon and why she said that it is important. And I definitely buy into that point, but I want to also hear Apostle's reason why he say that, because I want to hear his reasoning in that, because there's always going to be other people that think the way we think. You know what I'm saying? We may not be the only ones that think the way we think. So I want to know why that would be. So Minister LaDon, you could present the question as you remembered it.
Well, it wasn't a question. Again, at the top of the show, I was commenting on our discussion of last week, and one of the statements that you made was that, if I could recall correctly, is that as women, you know, we were talking about women, single women get into relationships with men, and one of the comments was that we shouldn't expect them to be fathers, or we shouldn't be looking for a father for our children. And at the time of that statement, I was in agreement with that statement. And then I, you know, shared with our listening audience this evening that, you know, after I did more research and more studying, that I felt like I needed to rescind my agreement with that statement, in a sense of, I believe that we should be, we should be looking for fathers for our children. And when we don't look for fathers, we're looking for less than a father for our children. Now, I'm not saying that we walk into relationships and, you know, you're saying, okay, this man, your role at this moment of us just meeting each other is you're a father to my child. But as single women, when we date, we have a tendency to look for people that we are going to be potentially mated with, or mated to, or have hopes of becoming mates. Like, you're going to be my spouse, I'm going to be your spouse, we're going to eventually get married. That's our tendency when we're dating. And so if you're looking for the right husband, you should indeed be looking for the right father. You should be indeed looking for the right person to be over your child as a father, because when they step into the home and they step into the role of leader of the home, they become father to the children in their home. Now, I'm not speaking to, you know, women, myself being one, who have adult young people. Like, my daughters are all 21 and over. And so I'm not speaking to say that I would be looking for a father for my children, but as far as for little children and kids that need to be trained up, I should definitely be, in my mind, in my perspective, I should definitely be looking for somebody who fits that role, who fits that bill as a father to my children. And so that was my statement in a nutshell.
Okay. Okay, so first of all, let me break it down. Okay. Because what I meant by the statement was, there are a lot of women who grew up without their fathers and look for a father figure in the man that they're trying to get to know.
Ooh.
And some of these women have children by men who ain't father, who are not fathers to their children, so the cycle is constantly being repeated.
Amen.
What I was saying by not looking for the father is because when you do that, you put an added pressure on the man because he is going into the situationship. That's what we're going to call it at first, a situationship, before it develops into anything else. And you have younger children, and you're trying to be selective in who you're choosing for a potential husband, or who's trying to choose you as a potential wife. And that factor is a key factor when it comes to the children.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's very important that for the reason, and with the show, with the topic, the faulty fathers, part of that is because the mothers who did not have a father figure or a father in the home looks for their father. That's why I do know this to be true in certain situations where that's why you see a lot of women who will date older men, because they want a husband and a father figure because he's older.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I personally went through that with my last marriage. She was 12 years younger than me. And I told her, I can't be your father and your husband at the same time. And I told her the reason why, because that's incestuous to me and my thinking.
Yes.
So
I am definitely, and I'm glad we had we're having this discussion. Oh, especially so much, not only for myself, but for the other men and women who are listening in on the line, because indeed I do believe that, you know, a lot of times we as women, even when we're looking for fathers, sometimes we don't know what to look for. I mean, a father figure for our youth, and we do end up going into relationships looking for someone sometimes to be our father, you know, take on the role of being father to us and fathering the whole household. And so we definitely should not be going into relationships like that. And we definitely need to know what to recognize when we're looking at good fathers, when we're looking at good men, especially like you said earlier, like so that in those instances, we don't run someone off. I think that, you know, men and women, when we come into these relationships, men being, you know, when you're dealing with a grown man, I'm not talking about the children who may be listening on the line or little boys who may be listening on the line, but I'm talking about men. When you're dating a single woman, you do know that there is a chance, you know that the single woman dates to mate. You know that. And so I feel like if you're walking into that type of situation, or situationship, taking advantage of that, then you need to step you need to step out of that situationship. You need to come out of that relationship and leave her to find the man that is going to be a man to her and those children. And then women, you know, don't be – go ahead.
I was going to say this. First of all, everybody involved, before you even think about trying to date, because I got to – we did – on my empowerment line, we did a teaching on dating versus courting. Dating is something the world do. Courting is something that church folks should be doing, Christians should be doing. It's a whole difference. You're courting with the intent on marriage. Some people date just to see who's out there and get the flavor of the week or the flavor of the month or whatever that may be. What needs to take place first and foremost is that all parties need to go through the healing process from their previous relationships. Because if you don't ask God to break your habits, you'll end up with the same spirit in a different body. So if you don't change the way you process your spiritual life, what you've been through, you have to go through a deliverance process of some kind where you let all that go, because you're going to constantly make the same mistake. And you're going to constantly pick the same type of person. They may be 6 foot, they may be 6'5", they may be 5'3", they may be 5'9", but it's the same spirit that you're attracted to because you have not worked on yourself to change the inner man within you. So you're going to always look for a father figure, and you're probably going to find a faulty father because that's what you're used to, an absentee father, one that didn't really care if he was there. He didn't really want to be there. But, you know, my dad told me one time it was cheaper to keep her, and I told him, well, you go ahead and do what you do. I don't believe in that. I don't subscribe to that philosophy. I'm not going to be keeping somebody, and I'm miserable, and it reflects on the children, and they're miserable because they're not stupid. They see a lot. They may not say nothing, but they see a lot. And then they have to deal with it because they don't even know how to talk to the mama or the daddy, so they process it in their own little way. And then they become damaged. So until you go through the healing processes and show them truly be healed, and don't make, let me say this way, it's what I call a teachable moment. Don't make desperate decisions based off of loneliness, because there's a difference in being alone and being lonely. There's nothing wrong with being alone. There's something wrong when you become lonely, because lonely people seek out anybody that will give them attention and will be in any type of relationship that brings them some sort of companionship. And so you end up with faulty father figures, and you have to put into consideration whatever you have children. And I'm going to say this, even if you have adult children, you still have to pick a man that has father qualities, because now he's going to transition into the role of grandfather. Because if your kids have kids and he's a part of your life and a part of their life, even though they're adults and they have children, now he becomes a grandparent. So it's still parenting supposedly on a mature level, because now you're a grand. So you done been through the experience of raising your kids. Now you're getting ready to raise the next generation, the third generation. So you have to heal first. That goes across the board. Like for me, I took all the time. I went through the healing process. I got before God. I asked God to remove everything that was not like him, anything, because I wasn't one of the greatest fathers in the world by far. Nobody has the foolproof, fail-proof book on parenting, period. So you have to want to change first. Then you have to make the changes. And then you'll look at a person differently. You won't go in with the aspect of, I'm trying to find a father for my kids, or I'm trying to find a father figure for what I'm lacking, because your ultimate father should be God. So that's who you should really look to for your leadership and for your guidance. But a lot of people kind of like get mad at God and then take him and remove him from the process when they're trying to date and marry. They just exclude him altogether. And then they do it on their own, and then they end up in another jacked up relationship.
You know, I'll say a couple of things, because I really like what you said. One of the things that I want to say is, especially when we talk about healing, because I'm one of those type of people. I don't care about being by myself. I enjoy my own company. And so I don't mind being alone. And when I do get into relationships, I'm always seeking the face of God when I get into a relationship. One of the things that I will say about healing, especially, is sometimes, especially for those who are listening, sometimes we may think that we are healed and get into something and may not necessarily be healed. And sometimes God will heal you through some things that you didn't know were there. I want to use Kevin Durant as an example, stepping out into the court, and he thought he was ready and he thought he was healed. And then, you know, the injury, re-injuring himself, and not just him, but other people. And, you know, we pray to God that that he will be totally healed and restored. But I'm saying this to say that sometimes we may think that we are healed from certain things. We did a show a couple months back, and it was women seeking wisdom. And I, for those of you who are listening, if you missed the show, I really encourage you to look through the Facebook page, get the links, and go back and seek the show. But it was talking about going through the healing process. It was talking about working on ourselves and seeking wisdom, and that when we began to seek wisdom, and because wisdom wants to be found, it becomes so much easier to stand according to your moral values, your beliefs, those things that God, those standards that God has given you. When you are in search of wisdom, and when you're practicing wisdom, and when you're practicing a relationship, it's so much harder. When you're practicing, it's so much harder for you not to win. When you're consistently practicing, because you're getting better and better, you're learning. You're learning how to recognize. You're learning how to defend yourself. You're learning how to be on offense and defense. And so again, in seeking wisdom, there will be times where you may think that you are healed and may find out that you're not healed. And those may be times where you may slow up a relationship, and I mean, you know, go in a different direction and say, okay, we have to take our time here. There's some things that are going on. I don't think that we ever, you know, there will be times where God will say you are fully healed, but I think that there's always a healing, a growing, and a maturing going on, because, again, there are sometimes some things that we don't even know that is there that still remains. So I do think that we should be healed for in processes from past relationships, but also that we should be consistently seeking wisdom, because, again, sometimes we may think that we are healed and we're not healed. And in those times, I don't want anybody beating yourself up or dragging yourself through the mud, but going before the throne and learning, hey, what's going on? Why am I going through the same thing that I went through last time? Why am I not, what have I not learned from this situation? And actually learn from that situation. Don't just not stop. You know, when you're going through the fire drill, they tell you stop, drop, and roll. Begin to stop, drop, and roll. Don't just keep going through the motions and end up getting burned each time saying, I forgot to stop. I forgot to drop. I forgot to roll. Don't get burnt every time. Stop getting burned. That's the whole thing. And, you know, and
can
again,
I give you this tip?
Sure.
Okay. And this is for everybody, because a lot of people are of the age now where biological clocks are ticking. We getting up into senior ages, AARP ages, I like to call them. Understand this. One of the principles that you need to always have when it comes to wisdom is to be patient. Because you serve a God that does not operate in a 24-hour time frame or 365-day calendar as we do. So therefore, when you think you don't have a lot of time left, you don't know, because you cannot predict the day that you're going to die. So you don't know. So there is no need for anyone to rush the processes of healing, rush the processes of relationships, trying to get to the altar. If you use wisdom and let wisdom be your true guide, you will avoid a lot of situations because you're not rushing. And here's the other thing. Because women outnumber men in the church, in the body of Christ, women become desperate when they see a saved man, and that man, it may not even be saved, he just come to church. But because it's such a disparity, they tend to gravitate to the single one. And trying to push him, they want to get married now. They both y'all in the church. Let's do this. God done spoke. We done put words in God's mouth. And said, oh, the Lord done spoke to me. You to be my wife. Oh, you to be my husband. We got confirmation. And ain't nothing being confirmed, but y'all flesh is burning for one another. The spirit ain't spoke. So we have to be able to discern as well. Part of having wisdom is having discernment. And if you don't have discernment, don't try to get into a relationship until you develop your discernment, because discernment will keep you from having these hellacious situations and keep you from repeating the same mistakes over and over. Amen.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
One of the things that I was going to say is that, especially on the show that we did, I think it was, what was it, April, in regards to discernment, because discernment is a learned behavior. It's definitely a learned behavior. I don't think that you should rush into anything, that anybody should rush into anything, but I truly believe that discernment is a learned behavior. And the reason why I love the points that you're bringing out, and then I also want to, I'm adding my own perspective. It doesn't have to be right. It doesn't have to be not right. It's just my perspective. Discernment is a learned behavior. It's something that you get from the Holy Spirit, but it's something that you do have to learn, and you learn it by going through processes. And learning how to recognize when God is moving you and when God is not moving you. And so I'm saying that because I don't want anybody to get so fearful that they don't move at all, rather than learning how to move when God moves you. Because sometimes God will be moving us and we won't move at all. We'll be still because we're so scared that we may not recognize or we may not necessarily know God's voice. And so, again, it's a learned behavior. You don't have to learn it by getting burnt. You definitely don't have to learn it by getting burnt, but you learn it through the practice, and you learn it through going through situations and recognizing, oh, yeah, that's God telling me to do this, and that's God telling me to do that. So even when you're as we're talking about fathers and recognizing good fathers and people who should be who are great models, great fathers and great role models in your children's life, you're recognizing that, going through discernment, especially for those women who did not have a father growing up in the home or don't know what a good father is, or what a good father looks like, or the habits or the characteristics of a good father. Definitely discernment will help you in those situations. And that's something that you are going to have to learn. That's something that you're going to have to grow, and that's something that you're going to have to mature into. It's not something that's just given.
Amen. Was that a stop, Minister LaDonna? Did you?
It was.
Okay, I didn't hear the amen. That was a great response. I want to bring in another question, and it all ties in. But I want to bring in a question. We've been addressing Of course, we've given honor to our fathers, and Apostle, we want to give honor to you as a father as well, because this is kind of our Father's Day special. But in that, we want to also kind of break down some things. And, of course, you and Minister LaDon have been talking about, should women be looking for fathers for their children when they are dating? So we kind of got to the point of that. One of the other questions that were presented is, when men date women with children and they bond with the children, so we're talking about probably it's a little bit more serious dating, it might be exclusive, but when a woman has a child or children and she begins to date this man and it begins to get serious, he bonds with her children. Do the men have a moral responsibility or obligation to continue their relationship with the child? Now, that's the question. I'm going to say my two cents, and then I'm going to be quiet and let you guys take the floor. That's a very good question, because generally what happens is when a man and a woman relationship fails, then the man normally has a tendency to, and I've seen both sides. I've seen the men have this, hey, I'm not with the mama no more. That's it. I quit the mama, I quit the kids. And then I have seen some men that try to stay connected, but because the mom is dealing with her own emotional hurt because of the, whatever happened in the relationship, she would not allow him to be around. And I think both things are really unfortunate for the children, because the adults, the ones that are supposed to be grown, the mature adults, are not looking at the fact. Even when you're dating and you're dating multiple people and you're going from one relationship to another relationship, and you have children, whether you're a single father or a single mother, that is just not a good thing, because you're not taking into, it's all about you, and you're not taking into consideration the child or the children. And children are very, they're very impressionable. So when somebody comes in your life and they begin to like them, they begin to bond with them, believe me, they go through just as much hurt and pain as you do at the failing of that relationship. So I think those are things that really need to be taken into consideration, men, when you're dating women with children, and especially when you decide that you want to begin to bond with the children. So that's my take on it. So I'm gonna step back and see what your guys' thoughts are.
Well, I'll go first. Me being a man, if I'm gonna get involved with any woman, especially now that I'm at my age, you're not gonna probably necessarily find a woman who does not have children. So for me, I don't call them stepchildren, but for the sake of the show, I'll say stepchildren. From previous marriages and relationships that I was in, for the most part, I'm still cool with the kids. Even though they're adults, they got their own children, whatever, whatever. If I see them out, it ain't no animosities. We hug. If it's my daughters, we hug. I may kiss them on the cheek or forehead, you know. I'm introduced to whoever they may be with as their other father, because I've always tried to maintain an active role, even though me and the mama didn't work out, because I don't think kids are innocent victims in bad relationships. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to take it out. And I've been blessed. I truly say I was blessed, because I have four parents. Both of my parents remarried. When my dad married my stepmother, she told me after the wedding, she was like, you can either call me, her name was Barbara Jean, or I can call her Mama. And Mama came out of my mouth, and she was Mama ever since. So for the 25 years that they were married, she was always Mama. So I had two mothers, and my mothers bowled in the same bowling league. My father's bowled in the same bowling league and played softball together. They've been friends forever. So mm-hmm. It never was an animosity issue. So I don't know anything about parents that don't get along. as you know, Coach D, my kid's mother, we've been friends for 33 years, even though we ain't been married in 21 this year. But we've never stopped being friends, and our kids, they don't know no different. Like, I don't, they're brothers and sisters that I had outside of the, after them and whatnot. I make sure they all know each other. And y'all choose if y'all want to talk and do whatever, because y'all grown, y'all can make that decision. But I say that to say that if I break up, this is just me, and I feel this way, if you know as a man that that child's real father is not in his life and you played an integral part for however long you and the mother were together, don't take it out on the child because you angry at the mother and y'all didn't work out. Try to be there if she will allow you to be. Ask that question. I mean, as simple as that, just simply ask the question. Do you mind if I still be a part of the kid's life because they need a male role model? And if she is in agreement with it and vice versa, then do that. Take the kids to the park, take them to a ball game, take them shopping, whatever you do, so that they have some semblance of love, because they want to know why did he break up with us, like you said, just because him and mama don't get along no more. What did we do to him? What did we do to her? And then when you got the parents that are bitter, because that's another thing, that's a whole other show in itself. When you bitter and you take it out and call a man every name in the book, or when you get into arguments, because here's another thing that happens that destroys relationships and the kids suffer, and it's faulty mother and faulty fathers, I'm just going to put both of them in there, is when you run to your family members and your friends and talk real, real bad about the person, knowing they ain't done half the stuff that you said, but because you upset and want to make yourself look good, you make them look real bad. And then people wonder why they was around your kids in the first place.
Mm.
Woo!
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I'm going to say, you know, Apostle Ron said something very important earlier when he talked about dating versus courting. And, you know, I was totally in agreement with that, in a sense of sometimes we are cultivating or manipulating relationships, and we're not letting them go through the proper stages. And so because they don't go through the proper stages, we have this man that was maybe never going to be our mate, and we're trying to have him father our children. And you know, and in those instances, do you have that person stay there? You know, do you have that person stay there? So I think that if we take our, like, you know, he said, when we take our time, first and foremost, when we take our time in relationships, that person coming in, there's a role that they're playing, or that they are, and that's the role that they feel. When we marry, they become the father. If they're there and they're in a role as, like, we shouldn't be moving somebody into our home and different things like that. If you're moving people into your home and you have all of these different dynamics going on, then we are going to be subject to the consequences of those dynamics. So if I've moved somebody into my home and I have them playing house, then indeed they're going to play father. And they might not necessarily end up being father, because we're playing house. And some people might say, oh, I'm not playing house because I pay bills and I pay rent and, you know, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. But if you have not stepped in fully into that role of husband, leader, provider, then you're playing. If you're not haven't fully stepped up into that role as wife, mother, nurturer, then we are playing house. And so in those instances, you may not end up with somebody who's going to continue in that role of mentoring your child. But is that the person that you want mentoring your child? Because they never fully stepped into the role in the first place. So is that what you you want your child being taught? Is that what you want exemplified in your child's life in the first place? Now, if you have father figures in your child's life, or if you have this relationship where you guys were married and you guys are now divorced and they're not, and then I think that they should still continue to be in the child's life. I'm divorced, and every single one of my ex-husband's children, even to the new relationship that he has now, has been to my home. And they've always been welcome in my home. On down to their children and extending myself and my, you know, to their children. We're taking care of people at this time, or supporting people. I don't want to say taking care of, but supporting some issues or some challenges that are going on at this time. And so I'm saying, again, I love how Coach Ron said, the children have nothing to do with it. We as adults, we play a role. We make our own decisions, and their consequences are a byproduct of the decisions that we made. And so our role as parents, as adults, as leaders, as teachers, is to give them the best role model, the best support, and the best situation, setting them up for success. And the way that we do that is if you stepped in as mom or mother figure, always be that person for that child. They may get somebody into their life, and you may not, you know, the person may get remarried again, and they may have another mother somewhere down the line. But we are now a community of nurturers for these young people. And how much stronger will they be with that community behind them? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wow, good topic. I just want to take a second, and we have a listening audience and anyone that's listening in on tonight, if you have any comments or questions about some of the questions that we've discussed and went over tonight, please dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a comment or a question. This has really been good, and it's rich. The discussion is rich. You know, discussions like this, really, you know, I don't know why people don't flock to get some information, flock to get some truth on discussions like this, because you see it happen all the time. You hear kids talk, you know, being damaged. You know, the spirit of rejection is a powerful spirit. And what I mean by powerful spirit, that a lot of brokenness that we see in these failed relationships, a lot of brokenness of us trying to become one with another individual. You know, a lot of times you have two broken people that's coming together trying to be whole. And you can't, I don't care how much you come together, you cannot be whole if two of you are broken and without doing something to fix that. And a lot of times you think about a child, if the mother is a single mother, and let's just say the father is not involved in the child's life, that's already the first spirit of abandonment and rejection. So the child has already lost their birthright. And for those who don't know what birthrights are, it's confidence, courage, hope, trust, belief. And I'm probably not saying it right in the right order, but you get it. Those are birthrights. That's what God has already given us. And then when we go through life situations and different things, it causes us to lose our birthright. It causes us to shrink. And the spirit of rejection and the spirit of abandonment is one of those. So if you already came into the earth with an unwed mother, the father's not on the scene, you already was born to a single mother, that's already you feeling abandoned and rejection, because you're trying to understand why your daddy didn't love you enough to be around. And then your mama, if she goes through in your lifetime, let's just say not your lifetime, but from your adolescence, from the time you're born to the time you're 18 and you move out the house, and she had 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different boyfriends that come on the scene that you're exposed to, now they're no longer in the picture. You get where I'm going? You see the damage, you see the destruction, and you see why we see the breakdown in relationships and marriages that we see? Because people don't want to deal with the root cause. They don't want to deal with the things that are, you know, we want to deal with, oh, okay, he's an alcoholic. So we want to focus on the alcohol. Or we want to deal with, oh, she's promiscuous. So we want to focus on the promiscuity. But the thing is, it's neither the alcohol nor the promiscuity. It's the root cause. Why are they doing that? What's deep inside? Where is that pain? What spirit are they dealing with that's causing them to want to be so numb that they will take drugs, that they will get drunk, that they will run in and out of relationships? Those are just the symptoms to the main cause, and people don't want to, it hurts. So most times people run from pain. People don't want to sit in silence and deal with the ugliness that's within. They don't want to deal with their own demons, because I'm going to tell you, that takes a lot to be, ain't nobody but you and God, and you got to deal with some ugly truth about yourself. You got to really deal with some ugly truth about yourself. Some things that you haven't processed through that you thought you processed through. Some things that you was expecting that didn't happen. Some jealousy, some hate. Whatever those things are that's boggled up inside of you, those demons that you don't want to deal with. And you cannot get whole until you deal with them. I heard somebody say on Sunday, they didn't say it exactly this way, but this is where I translated it and received it, is that to be healed is one thing. And they were talking about blind Bartimaeus. You know, he did get healed to be able to see. That was just one thing. That was the minor thing. But the big thing was he became whole. He became whole because when Jesus told him to go and you know, that his faith has made him whole, go, you know, I think it was going through no more. He came back and he became a follower of Jesus. So he was whole. And so most of us is walking around, we're getting our healings in various areas, but it's nothing to get your healing if you ain't getting whole. So
amen.
Okay, I'm putting my, but that's good
right there. A lot of people do that though, and that's the most important part before trying to be in any relationship. And it goes for men and women. Because first and foremost, to be in a relationship, you have to know how to relate to one another.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, if you claim to be a Christian, Christ-like, then you need to have a relationship with Christ and with God and listen to the Holy Spirit when it tells you things, because it will never lie to you. So many people end up with faulty fathers in their children's lives, and so many become faulty fathers is because they don't follow the directive of the Holy Spirit, and they don't let go of the root to a lot of their pain. I'm going to tell you a quick, real quick, brief story about myself. My father was not around when I was younger. He didn't have his father around, so he didn't know how to be a father. We went through this process for almost 30 years. Then my counselor told me to have a serious conversation with my dad, say whatever I felt, he had to just listen. And so we did that. And from that point on, we didn't have no more issues. But my dad said to me, and it's always stuck with me, he said, "Well, what was I supposed to do back then? I couldn't do no more than tell you that I love you." And I told him, had you told me that you loved me, nothing else would have even mattered. Not whatever you did for me, materialistically speaking, because I've never been a materialistic child or an adult. I get what I want. That's one thing, but I'm not materialistic. It doesn't run my life. And I told him, had you just told me those three words, I'd have been all right. We went, and so our latter years were greater. The reason why I'm the man I am today is because I looked at my father from that point on in a different light. My dad was the type of father, he took on five kids. Some of them were adults, some of them were still young when they got married. But he took five children, and they called him Paul, Pops, Dad. When they speak of their father, they don't talk about their natural dad. They talk about their stepfather, which is my father. So he had a positive impact on all of our lives, and we are the tightest of tight. But in order for me not to repeat the cycle, which I did for a while, I had to go to God, and I had to get real serious with God about being delivered from the curses that have been on the generations of men on both sides of my family, my mother's and my dad's side. So I was determined to break the cycle so none of my kids would go through the same problem. But that takes being real with yourself. So many people are so fake with themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a word by itself. You so fake with yourself to try to be real to everybody else. But you bleeding on the inside where nobody can see you actually bleeding. But you're hemorrhaging to death in certain areas that you will not ask God to stop the bleeding in, because that is your sense of motivation. That is what you hold on to. You don't want to let that anger, you don't want to let that hurt go, but you don't understand that it's affecting every type of relationship that you have, from your children to your parents to a mate to your job. It damages every relationship that you have. And people don't go that deep into looking at it. But check your friends, check your family, check your relationships at work, and see why you're such an outcast. Why don't nobody want to be around you? It's because you haven't let certain things go in order to be delivered so you can truly be free. So many people, and I'm done after I say this, so many people are existing instead of living life. They just go through the motions. And that in itself makes you faulty. Whether you're a male or a woman, whether you're a mother or a father, and I know it's geared more toward the faulty fathers, but we got to be honest. A lot of these mothers, a lot of the women, and I'm not bashing the women, have made the mistake of picking the wrong dude based off of looks, money, prestige, whatever else. And a lot of people did not do what the Bible said do, as God would have liked for us to be, and remain a virgin. So therefore, you wouldn't have some of the fathers and some of the mothers that you chose to have for your children had you listened to the Spirit when it told you don't even get with them, but you allowed your flesh to rule, and now you got a son or a daughter by a man that you can't stand. Or a woman that you cannot stand. And now the child is a product of your lustful desires for one another, but the baby was never created out of love. The baby was created out of lust. And because the baby grows inside the mother and is attached to the umbilical cord, that's the spirit that transfers through the umbilical cord to the baby, is the spirit of lust. So when the children come out and they grow up and they have the same type of spirit, the mothers or the fathers don't know how to deal with them spirits, because they never dealt with them within themselves, so they don't know how to help their children. I'm going to be done, because I can go to a whole other message with that one by itself. But that's part of the problem. That's part of the problem.
Amen.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Amen. You know, and one of the things I'll do.
Hey, I'm noting that one. Hey, we don't have to talk on that one. That sounds like a show. okay. So anyway, I know we are. We are over, but. Oh, God, this has been, like I said, a rich discussion, great topic, and wow. Pastor, I want to thank you for last-minute tuning in to clarify your comment on last week. And Minister LaDon, you really broke it down when you spoke about the Father, because I kind of didn't see that, but I definitely see it now and get it. And so you really broke it down when we dating, most women are dating. It, you know, because the whole thing about the flesh is about me. You know, the flesh is about self. You know, what about me? What I want. And that's another thing with, you know, with this whole divorce rate in the body. I'm talking about the body, you know, because it's about me. It's, you know, this, you know, this is what I want. This is what I don't want. You know, this is what I, if this don't go my way, then I'm going to hit, you know, hit the highway, that kind of thing. And so it really is about us. And, you know, or we have that flesh desire of it being about us. But when you have kids, it ain't about us no way, with or without kids. But even more so when you have kids, it really isn't about you. And every decision you make, especially when you have young kids or minor kids at home, should really be about, you know, the first and foremost consideration. I know me as a mother, I didn't do a whole lot of dating once I had, you know, my son. I just didn't do a lot of dating because what I didn't want to do is bring a bunch of men in and out, you know, and over him. Not only that, I was a protective mom. And while you're getting to know somebody, and sometimes you could be around somebody 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, and still don't know them. But I was a very protective mom, and I didn't want to risk just freely bringing anybody around my child, nor did I let my child go spend the night over a lot of other people's house. I could count on my one hand and still have two fingers left over of where my son was allowed to go spend the night. And see, because women are more vulnerable about their life pain, you know, what happened to them growing up, but, you know, what hurt them. Women are more, but men aren't. But believe it, the same thing that was happening to women, to little girls, was happening to little boys. And so we got to be careful. We got to be careful. We cannot just let our kids subject them to anybody and everybody. We cannot be that unconscious as mothers or fathers. Fathers, you got single fathers out there. Same thing to you. You got women that are just, could be just as notorious as men when it comes to abuse, physical abuse, mental and emotional abuse. So we got to really be careful with our kids. But with that being said, we are at the end of our show. Minister LaDonna, is there anything you want to share before we begin to shut down?
Yeah, I do. I do want to share like a couple of things. You know, first and foremost, you know, I really want to take a moment. I want to take it back to the comment that Apostle Ron gave earlier and stating that, you know, we need to get healed, because I want us to recognize that sometimes what we will do is we will, when we end a relationship, we'll be by ourselves for a while. And when we think we're over the relationship, we call that a healing. And then we step back out and start doing the same process over again. So I'm going to reiterate, we had a wonderful show on Seeking Wisdom. And if you want the links, please, if you don't see them readily available on our pages, shoot us an email so you can get those links. You can also go back to the MCD network and pull up links to past shows as well. And I believe it was the month of April where we had the show 8 Weeks to Wisdom. So it'll take you through an 8-week process and just help you to start recognizing different areas of the healing process and learning how to recognize if you're healed in situations or healed from situations or not healed from situations, and how to process through that. Another thing that I'll take it back to again is we want to first always start with love. And when you start with love, you have a tendency to end with love, because love does not allow you to get too nasty or get too dirty or get too far away from it. And love is not about your ego. It's not about I. It's not about what he did to me or what she did to me. It's really about it's really about love. And, you know, love keeps no records of wrongdoings. It covers a multitude of sins. There's just so much. If you don't know what love is, of course, go back to 1 Corinthians 13 and read the whole chapter and really get in tune with learning more about love. Because in stepping into a child's life, you'll learn how to respond and how to react with the child and with the child's mother. You'll learn your boundaries or what boundaries should be set in place. You'll learn what foundations should be set in place and what you should be building off of and building from. You'll learn that how to not step in trying to be a father before it's that time. And you'll learn what to teach the child and what not to teach the child as well. And as women, we will begin to learn to recognize when a man operates in these characteristics of love and even so much more, and how to recognize wonderful fathers. And the last thing I want to end with is I do want to take the time to honor all of the fathers out there. I don't think that you get honored enough. I think there's so much man bashing that goes on and that we hear so much about it, and that's what we talk about, and that's what's in social media and different things like that, all of what is so wrong with men. And for what that most of you have had to go through, especially our black men, and I know it's beyond black men, but I'm a black woman, and so I'm going to say right now, especially the black men of the society that we are in, especially in today's times, where it's hard for you to even walk into the streets without worrying about if you're going to make it home safe at night. Hispanic men too, as far as, you know, there's so many that are being ripped through this whole immigration thing. And so for those of you who face so many different challenges and still come back home with love in your heart, or still choose to love and extend yourself and take upon so many sacrifices and just give of yourself, which is truly of great value, I want you to know that we see you, we recognize you, we honor you, we lift you up, we pray for you, we need you, we love you, and we thank you. And that's pretty much it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you again, Minister Adam. Thank you, Apostle, for being on the show. We want to thank our listening audience for tuning in tonight. This episode of Woman to Woman, and we hope that you tune in tomorrow to Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D. We love you. You're appreciated. And for the fathers, I'm just going to reiterate what Minister LaDon said, is that we just want to wish you all a happy, happy Father's Day, and that you're not just being celebrated on one day a year, but that you're being celebrated throughout the year. Amen. So, again, know that you are loved and appreciated. Good night.
Good night.
Woman to woman.
Ooh, woman to woman. Songs of life we sing. Songs of love. Songs of light we bring.
Here we go.
Woman to woman, songs of life we sing. Songs of love and songs of joy. Songs of life we bring.
Sing it again.
Woman to woman, songs of life we sing. Songs of love and songs of joy.
Woman to woman,
woman to woman,
songs of life we bring,
songs of love and songs of
joy. Woman to woman, yeah.
Okay, Kayla, sing it down low for him. Now